Well, good evening. I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. We'll be reading Luke 6, 1 through 11. It can be found on page 1096 of the Bibles provided for you. And in this passage, the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees is growing. Jesus has healed the leper. He's healed the paralytic. But not only is he healed, he's claimed to forgive sins. And in this passage, which regards the Sabbath and the proper use of it, the tension continues to grow. Let's pause for a minute and pray to ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Our Father and our God, we do pray as we open up Your Word that You would give us minds to understand, hearts to know Your Word, that it would change us, we pray, in Christ. Amen. So this is the Word of God, not the words of men. May God use it to reveal the thoughts of our hearts. Luke 6, verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And also he gave it to them, those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come, stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." This is the Word of God. Exposed. Exposed. Could be the headline of the day as we just prayed. Political leaders, celebrities, and even religious leaders being exposed, some being accused falsely, some righteously. All of us have a fear of being exposed. Maybe something that we've done in private, being told to people in public, and we're afraid of the consequences it might bring. But I ask you, what about your thoughts? What if your thoughts were exposed? What would we see? Well, at the beginning of Luke's gospel, Jesus went into the temple with his parents, took him into the temple, and Simeon, a godly man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, told Mary this: "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and the sword will pierce through their own souls also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This child would reveal the true hearts of men, women, and children. And with that in mind, we come to our text. We see Jesus confronting the Pharisees and the scribes revealing their thoughts. Look with me at verse 8. But he knew their thoughts. And in this passage, Jesus is exposing them for who they really are. But people of God, they are not the only ones being exposed. We, too, are being exposed. And when exposed, what will the thoughts of your heart reveal? When exposed, what will the thoughts of your heart reveal? When confronted with Christ, what will your heart look like? And in this passage, as we go through this passage, we'll ask ourselves three questions to reveal our heart. The thoughts of your heart are revealed in what is your authority? What is your authority? Verses 1 through 5. See, Jesus was walking along with his disciples on a Sabbath day. And they were hungry and they walked into a field, as was allowed in the book of Deuteronomy, to grab a few heads of grain or corn, not to put the sickle to it and take it for profit, but rather to feed themselves. And they took it and they rubbed it together in their hands, separating the wheat, the corn from the chaff. Hardly a feast. But here, the Pharisees are looking in at them, looking in at him. And they say to Jesus in verse 2, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Like a parent to a child saying, what are you doing? Or why are you doing that? It's not really a question, is it? It's more of an accusation. And here Jesus replies, verse 3, have you not read? Have you not read? See, these Pharisees and scribes had become their own authority. They've determined what is right and wrong. And their laws have become oppressive on the people of God. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so if I was to describe for you a picture of a sunset in southwest Florida in August, the sun bright and orange, a palm tree, maybe the bay, the lapping against the sandy beach. But if I was to take you there in August and you were to open up the door of the plane, what would you feel but the oppression of the heat upon you? It looks pretty, but it's really oppressive. And these men were like that. They looked good on the outside. They looked good from afar, but they were oppressing God's people, making a hedge around the Sabbath day, determining how to tie your shoes, how far you could walk, the distance of your gait in your walk. True bondage on the people of God. It was about what you could not do, but rather, it was about that, rather than what you should be doing as God's people. And Jesus here, like a slap to the eye or a punch to the eye, I've got a black eye. Have you not read? Have you not read? Jesus is saying, aren't you the ones to know the Scriptures? That this day, the Sabbath day, is to be a day of mercy, providing meals to the hungry, a day of freedom, a day of redemption. If you look back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, in the second giving of the Ten Commandments, in keeping the Sabbath day, God tells the people this through Moses, you shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. The Sabbath is to be a day of redemption. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of David. And we could spend a ton of time here, and I encourage you to look in 1 Samuel chapter 21. But David was fleeing from Saul. David, the great hero of their faith. And David found some protection in the tabernacle and a meal, the consecrated bread, which is really only meant for the priests and their family. But here the priest lays aside the letter of the law. Rather, the law required that the priest sustain the life of people. Ahimelech was not to leave David and his men to remain hungry, but to care for them, because that's what the law of God requires, taking care of the poor and the needy. See, be clear here, Jesus is not breaking the letter of the law, because Jesus says He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the one who created it, and these Pharisees have gutted what the Sabbath was about. But Jesus here, like a good architect, brought repair to the Sabbath. J.C. Ryle says it this way: an architect who repairs a building and restores it to its proper use is not the destroyer of it, but the preserver. See, Jesus alone is Lord over the Sabbath. He has the authority over the Sabbath and everything else in our lives. And you know, God won't share that with anyone. The question is, what is your authority? What is your only rule for faith and life? Brothers and sisters, you know your own heart. It has been exposed. It's easy to place yourself as the authority over this day and your whole life. You can be tempted to make yourself the determiner of what's right and wrong. Brothers and sisters, pray for one another. Pray for the people in this room. Pray for your leaders in the church, that they would hold firmly to God's word as their only authority. That they would hold on to it like the precious jewel that it is. That they wouldn't swerve from the right to the left. That this is their only standard for holiness. Please pray that this, God's word, would be our only authority. Not only is our hearts revealed in what we place our authority, but our thoughts are revealed in our love for the needy. Do you love the needy? Verses 6 through 9. Do you love the needy? We encounter Jesus. He enters the synagogue in verses 6 to teach. And we see the Pharisees sitting here waiting to see what Jesus would do. But Jesus knows their thoughts. He knows them. And Jesus calls up this man with a withered right hand, and he begins to ask the question in verse 9. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" It seems like this should be an easy answer, shouldn't it? Of course it's lawful to do good on this day, the Sabbath. See, these men should have been leading the charge in caring for the poor and the needy, those with physical and spiritual needs. But here Jesus heals the man, and we get the revelation of these men's hearts. They've been exposed for who they really are. Their response reveals their hearts. See, they had just witnessed Christ heal a man, the power to heal a man with a withered hand. What should they have done but fall on their faces and worshiped this Jesus? They should have said, "We've witnessed the healing power of God. We've seen the impossible take place." But rather, what was their response? In verse 11, these men responded in anger, in fury. These men were like whitewashed tombs, really clean on the outside, but full of death on the inside. Do you get the irony of this passage? Is it lawful to do good or harm. Here Jesus heals this man, and the Pharisees begin to plot Jesus' death and destruction. Don't miss the significance here. Jesus healing this man would lead to his death. The Pharisees were willing to allow this man, when help was ready and available, to sit in anguish. Yet Jesus was willing to die to see this man healed. He's willing to die to see you healed. Does your heart reveal your love for the needy like Christ loved the needy? You know, people are difficult. They're hard. A lot of challenges with dealing with people. But you notice what happened. Where did this take place? But on a Sabbath day in the synagogue, right in the middle of God's people. This man stood before them and needed help, and they offered none. Do you see the people around you who are in need? Often our minds go to those who are hurting physically, and we do good to pray for them and think of them. But pray that we're not like the people James described as being ones who say, "Hey, you're cold, you're hungry. Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled. I'll pray for you." It's our common slogan, isn't it? But do we really pray? But may we be not only people of prayer, but a people of action. People of active love. But how well do we recognize the needy among us who have emotional and spiritual needs? They're hard to see, aren't they? They take a lot more effort. They require investing in people in their lives, getting to know them, and identifying the issues and the needs. See, we need to be people that make every effort to identify needs in people. Every effort to identify them and try to reconcile them. Like Jesus, no matter the cost. Brothers and sisters, have you been exposed? Do you love the needy like Christ loved the needy? Or are you a whitewashed tomb? The third question we need to ask ourselves is, what is your response when called to do the impossible? What is your response when called to do the impossible? Verses 10 and 11. As we said, Jesus had entered the synagogue to teach. Knowing the hearts of these scribes and Pharisees, he chooses to give an object lesson. See, you and I, we have many imperfections, don't we? And we try to cover them up often, whether it be with a little makeup. Maybe we wear our clothes a little looser so we don't show off our imperfections. And think about this man with a withered hand, a right hand withered, probably limited in his employment. It seems as if everyone sees his imperfection. But Jesus here puts it on display. And after posing the question in verse 6, as we've already read, he's saying to the Pharisees, "Do you see the need? You are the religious leaders. Don't you see around you the people hurting? Are you going to take action? Do you see the needs in both body and soul? Are you going to take action?" And then what does Jesus do? He looks around the room and waits. And with no reply, he says to the man with this withered hand, "Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand." And the man reaches out and he's restored. This man practices faith. He has faith and is restored. He has faith in his Savior, and he trusted the words of Jesus, and he stretched out that hand. And that call is no different today. It's not any less impossible. See, maybe you're here today and your heart has been exposed. Maybe your Christian walk isn't like it used to be, like it once was. As God's Word, it's not quite, doesn't quite have that special place in your life like it used to. The busyness of life have come between you and your time with God and His Word. You've begun to compromise the teaching of Scripture, and you're tempted to make yourself the authority in your life. Maybe you used to really take pleasure in loving people, giving your time and energy to people, delighting in people, opening up your home on the Lord's Day to serve people. You've taken the time to meet the needs of people. And that which once was a joy has now become a burden. Let somebody else take care of that. I'm too busy. In fact, you even try to avoid such people. Maybe even you don't really like people anymore. But you've managed to hide this from us or from each other. But Jesus is exposing your heart, and it's withering. Your heart is withering. See here, Christian, Jesus calls you to stretch out your hand in faith. And Christ will do the impossible. Christ will do that which you cannot do. Brothers and sisters, come to Christ. Repent. Stretch out your hand in faith. And if you're here today and you've been exposed and you don't know this Jesus, and you're like this man with a withered hand and you have no hope, you're helpless. You've been trying to hide, but you know that you're in desperate need. But Jesus is calling you out today to stretch out your withered hand. He's calling you to do the impossible and respond in faith and say, I'm helpless. I need you. I'm broken. I urge you to call out to Christ because He will make that which is impossible, possible. See, today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, won't you stretch out your hand? When exposed, what will the thoughts of your heart reveal? A heart of faith like this man with a withered hand? Or a heart of fury and anger like these Pharisees? I pray a heart of faith that looks alone to God's Word as your only authority, a heart that seeks to love those who are in need, and a heart that has responded in faith to the call to do the impossible. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do know that You can do the impossible. Lord, we ask You to be working in our hearts, to be changing them, that we would look alone to Your Word as our authority, that we'd love people like You love people. And Lord, that our lives would be continuously doing the impossible that You have made possible. What a privilege it is, Lord, and we thank You for Christ making it possible for us to come to You. And in His name we do pray. Amen.